Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show for a Thursday morning. It's 5:54 in the a.m. This is your old radio pal, Ralph Garman, here with the lovely and talented Allie McKay.
And hi, Ralph.
Chip the Wonder Monkey, of course, behind the board. It's good to see you, ladies.
Did you see Kevin and Meme on Twitter made a Wonder Monkey?
No, yeah. I didn't. That's awesome. You just say things, and then they become things.
Yeah.
It's a great thing about radio. The boys are on vacation, but we are doing live Showbiz Beats all morning long. And also, we'll be doing What's Good later on in the show, taking your phone calls, see what you want to talk about. We'd love to have you participate in the show, not just listen. Hope someone brings up the Brexit. See how the Brexit vote's going.
Are you remaining?
Do you think?
Or are you leaving?
What are the odds someone's going to call in to talk about the Brexit?
Zero.
Yeah.
But what are the chances anyone knows what we're talking about right now?
The Brexit.
Zero. Yeah.
Chip, you know what the Brexit is, right?
Yeah, it's the Britain seceding from the Union, right?
Wow. Boom. Look at that.
Right.
See?
Remaining or leaving? What are you voting?
She's not
What's
just
your
tiny.
Ex?
She's also smart, boys and girls. All right. Speaking of phone calls. I want to give away something for the young people who have to get up early in the morning and make their way to school, or perhaps you're an older person making your way to work.
You're really covering everyone.
I want everyone to feel included in this, although you do have to be 21 years of age or older to win this. So if you're young, sorry, F you. Here's what's going on. The Santa Anita Racetrack this Saturday will be the home of the K-Rock Brewfest.
Kids love it.
It's a great event. You got a beer garden with 40 different local brews that you can sample. There's a concert going on, Slaves Against the Machine, a Rage cover band will be playing between the races there at Santa Anita. You do, of course, have the pony races. First race starts at noon this Saturday. The infield's open at 11 a.m. It's a great time. It's just $5 to get in. You got free parking if you park at gate 6. But what I've got here this morning to give away is a 4-pack of VIP tickets, and here's what's included. You get backstage access to the event. You get a special wagering area, so you don't have to wait in line to put your bets down and win all that good coin. Racing program, tip sheet, 2 drink tickets. The beer garden and concert admission is on us if you win this 4-pack of VIP tickets. Call us right now, 1-800-520-1067. First person through over the age of 21 gets this 4-pack of VIP tickets for this Saturday's event at Santa Anita Race.
Hold up your beers if you're drinking.
Oh, I forgot to mention, all the kids are going to be there, right? Striker, our own Omar, Dave the King of Mexico, Beer Mug, Lightning, Super Steve, and Chip the Wonder Monkey. So everyone will be in attendance, and you can hang out with them and sweat. It's going to be a hot one.
It's going to be like, it's going to be not cool.
I heard like 96, 97, somewhere in there. So hydrate and sunscreen. That's what we're talking about. All right, let's take a look at the show business news. Selma Blair was the talk of the internet yesterday when we were talking about her freak out on a flight from Cancun, Mexico to Los Angeles this week. We did mention that she started yelling about her private parts being burned and someone not feeding her, and she was concerned for her life. It was sort of a psychotic episode.
Sounded like it, yeah.
Well, here's the good news. Apparently, it was not a mental illness issue. It was indeed, as suspected, a ill-advised mix of alcohol with medication, says Selma. She released a statement to Vanity Fair magazine this week saying she made a big mistake after her trip with her son and his dad by mixing alcohol with her medication, which led to a blackout. She doesn't remember anything.
Oh, wow.
She said, of course, she has heard the reports of what she said and did, and she says she deeply regrets the incident. She apologized to the passengers and the flight crew. And she said the best part is she's pleased her son had his headphones on. He was watching something on the iPad, so he didn't have to witness mom meltdown. And this is sad because she says, I'm filled with shame about the incident. So that makes
Selma
me feel bad. But
it's okay.
It's okay, Selma. We've all had our bad moments.
You got a problem, lady.
No, she doesn't, Dr.
Ralph
Phil.
Ralph was blackout yesterday.
That's right. I have no memory of yesterday's show whatsoever.
It's okay.
I was all hopped up on Jaeger bombs and NyQuil.
Jeez.
So,
which oddly tastes the
same. That's why I got confused. I just kept doing one after the other. Speaking of blackouts, this story made me laugh. You know, I'm not a country music fan. I don't really give a rat's ass one way or the other. But there's a guy named Kenny Chesney, apparently, who's a pretty big deal in country music.
Yeah, she thinks my tractor's sexy.
She does? Kenny's a girl?
That's a song.
Oh, I'm sorry. Zach Brown, the Zach Brown Band, also big country artists.
Mm-hmm. Are they beefing?
No, they're pals. Okay. So much so that they told Taste of Country, whatever that is, it's either a magazine or a website or a radio show or a movie. I have no idea what Taste of Country is.
We call it talk.
But they were, do you?
No.
They were talking about how good a good guy Kenny Chesney is. Earlier on in the career, they said they were stuck on a layover and about to miss a huge show for them, which would have been for 16,000 people, one of the largest audiences at that time in their career they had ever performed in front of. And so Zach Brown was familiar with Kenny Chesney. They had some sort of relationship. He called him up and explained the situation. So Kenny Chesney generously offered the use of his private plane, bought them new instruments at a local guitar center where they were performing, got them outfitted, and they made the gig.
Huh.
How nice is that?
It's very
nice. He is a dick.
He's not a dick.
That's what we're saying.
But here's my favorite part of the story. Mm-hmm. Kenny does not remember the incident at all because he had just taken an Ambien when he received the call. So the moral of the story, kid, is make your requests of superstars when they're all loaded up on Ambien, and they'll probably just agree to anything and not remember it afterwards. So
I feel like he didn't need to admit to that.
Yeah, but he did.
Wow.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Melissa Rauch from Big Bang Theory is 36 years old today. Joel Edgerton, talented mofo. That Joel Edgerton, he is 42.
Kevin hung up on him.
That's right.
Yep.
Not only is he a talented writer and director and actor, rather, he's also a director. He directed that spooky film
with Jason Bateman.
Yeah. The Gift. Speaking of Selma Blair, she's 44 years old today.
Oh, happy birthday.
Here's what you do, Selma, to celebrate. Get yourself some medication.
Do not.
Get a big old glass of Merlot and just knock it back and just watch the fireworks. Who knows what could happen next? Chico DeBarge is 50.
Bean is so sad.
He's missing out on the DeBarge birthday. Who's going to play Who's Johnny or whatever?
It is Who's Johnny. Who's Johnny, she said.
Joss Whedon. One of our favorites around here. He's 52 years old today. Frances McDormand, the lovely and talented actress. She's 59. Randy Jackson.
Ooh.
Oh, dog. Kind of pitchy. He's 60. And singer Glenn Danzig of the band Danzig, 61. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I'm so glad we get a chance to talk about this today because when I think Ralph brought it up a couple days ago about this this guy in New York who developed a pizza box made out of pizza.
Yes.
So the pizza is delivered, and the pizza comes inside a pizza box. And, Allie, you had many questions about how this would work logistically.
So many. Because I mean, if it's going to your home, how do you transport it so it doesn't get dirty? It's actually a box that's edible. So where do you put it so it's not, like, sitting on a seat? It just doesn't seem sanitary.
It seems like the greatest idea in the world because anything that gets more pizza into my belly is a good one. So we thought we'd talk to the genius behind the pizza box in a pizza. And this is Vinny from Vinny's Pizzeria in Brooklyn, who joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Vinny.
Hey, how you do? How you do, Kevin and Bean on the radio? Can I believe I talk to you on the radio?
We're doing fine. How are you today?
I could not be better. I make so much pizza.
Yes, you've really created quite a sensation with this pizza box. I understand
it's something else. I can't believe anybody talk about my pizza so much.
Sure. You were even on the Jimmy Kimmel show this week, right?
I was. They talked to Jimmy Kimmel. Like, yo, Jimmy Kimmel. How you doing, Jimmy Kimmel? He's an Italian-American, he's telling me, and he loves a pizza pie box.
Now, Vinny, let us ask you a couple of questions about that. It seems like, how does your delivery guy hold it?
With his hands.
Okay. So he has his... So I'm saying he has his hands all over what I'm going to eat?
All right, easy. What do you think? What do you think? I employ like a leprosy, come and deliver you pizza? He's just a boy. He's a nice boy. You wash your hands, he give you pizza. Everybody relax.
I know what little boys do. It's just, I feel like maybe...
You know what a little boy is.
Or older boys.
What's the matter with you, lady? I don't want to talk to pedophilia with a lady on the radio. I took a pizza box. Come on, you break my heart.
I just have to say.
radio breaking my heart and Vinny's heart.
You're doing this for the environment, so you're
that's
not
right.
using...
Listen, everybody has a pizza come with you a cardboard box.
Right.
You got a cardboard box. What do you do with a cardboard box? You take a cardboard box, you throw it in the trash.
Right.
The next thing you know, the trash is taken where? To the trash place. Mm-hmm. Then the big trash place all filled with cardboard. It's at the end of the world, so we know it. I'm a no feel fine.
I'm sorry you don't feel fine.
I don't feel fine because every cardboard, you know, the pizza boxes in all the world, you know, what a place. It's a bigger mess for the planet Earth. I love the planet like I love the pizza.
Now, Vinny, I have to ask you this because we did a story a couple of months ago about a pizzeria where they also made a pizza with pizza as a topping for the pizza.
That's
was that
me.
You as well?
That's
that was
me.
You.
Oh, wow.
I put a pizza on a pizza. I put a pizza on a pizza inside a pizza box. I put a pizza on a pizza in a pizza box with my new invention, the pizza car. It comes to your house and deliver a pizza in a car made completely out of pizza. The wheels are bigger pepperoni.
Can we take a bite out of the car?
Of course you can. Come on out. To get your pizza from the pizza car and take a little nibble off the bumper, but don't eat it too much because he's got to get back to Vinny's pizzeria and make him more pizza.
I just can't believe you can make anything out of pizza.
Anything you want to make, you'll make out of pizza.
What's
Are
that?
You hammering something?
I got a guy working in my shop here. We make a table, a chair out of pizza. You come in the pizza, you eat the pizza. You sit down on a pizza. You sit down on a pizza at a pizza table. You put the pizza box made out of pizza on the pizza table made out of pizza. Then you open up the pizza, eat the pizza on a pizza.
That's a lot of pizza.
Oh, where do you see the pizza condoms I got a coming out?
Oh,
you lady gonna love it. Take care of you with a pizza condom.
And I'm still an idiot.
That voice is Steve-O saying I'm still an idiot. So,
but Steve-O, I think what was before that?
I didn't hear what was before that.
I said I'm excited. I just celebrated 8 years of sobriety.
Now let's talk about the 8 years of sobriety.
Sure.
Is that more difficult for Steve-O than it is for most people? Because you were so public. People don't come up and want to buy you a drink or give you weed or anything.
I mean, they do, but I don't care. Whatever, you know. Not everybody wants. I think a lot of people know. I don't think it's easier or harder for me or anybody else. I think that the disease of alcoholism and addiction does not discriminate, and we've figured out pretty scientifically what does and doesn't work. And if you're doing those things, then you got a really good shot at having.
Have you had some peaks and valleys in the last 8 years?
Sure. Who hasn't? Right? I mean, life happens.
Yeah.
And I was saying when I walked in here, you know, if I looked at the rest of the world, I could easily get myself bummed out. But I'm just looking at what's going on. And I'm really excited with where I'm at.
We had a post-it note I want to ask you about that was on the phone in the other room, and it said, "If the phone rings, answer it. It might be Steve-O in prison for Kevin and Bean."
Not
That's
prison,
what it said.
But,
jail.
Right, right.
Jail.
Okay. Sure. Sure. Yeah. You know, I called ahead of time. I knew I was going in for my 30-day jail sentence, and I brought a Sharpie marker. And when I was on my way to surrender, I called the hotline, and I got the number that you guys really dug up a specific number,
yeah.
which would collect calls.
Mm-hmm.
And I scrawled that number on my arm, and I went in to call you guys from inside the slammer, but they let me out after 8 hours. So 30 days.
Is it bad that I was sort of bummed we didn't get
right?
a call
hey,
from
you
in jail?
It was bittersweet.
Were you in the mental space of going in for 30 days? Or did you know?
I knew it was going to be dramatically less than that. And I didn't want to really antagonize the prosecution, you know, by like making a big deal out of that.
Right.
But I expected it would be somewhere in the neighborhood of 1 to 3 or 4 days.
Eight hours
was
during
a treat.
The time that you were going to be doing the special, right?
No, I taped the special November 21st.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah. And I went into the jail on December 9th.
Tell people why you went into jail.
Well, I went into jail for protesting SeaWorld in a spectacularly idiotic fashion.
Yeah.
I shut down Hollywood by climbing up a crane nowhere near SeaWorld.
Mm-mm.
Like, it's like picketing a job that you don't work at.
And it's totally different
defending your job in a place where it doesn't
but
exist.
But you did that in San Diego as well once.
I did a different one in San Diego. The San Diego one was kind of clever. I climbed up a highway sign and I taped the word sucks over the word drive on the highway sign, which read SeaWorld Drive. You know, that was great.
How has that become what you care about? How do you pick?
You know, animal rights issues are close to my heart. I started out as a circus clown. You know, I graduated Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Clown College in 1997.
I feel like a lot of people think you're joking when you say
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I believe that they probably do, but I'm a veteran circus clown, and I was sensitive to the animal rights issues with the circus. And, you know, that led me to PETA, to complain about animals in the circus once I was a whistleblower. You know? And
Were you still a circus clown when you were doing that?
No. It was after Jackass came out. My last day in the circus was also my first day filming Jackass. I washed off my clown makeup for the last time, and within a half an hour, I was puking up a goldfish.
Oh, that's such a sweet story.
It was seamless.
Who can say that?
That's a beautiful story.
That's the weirdest sentence ever.
I know. It was super seamless. And, I don't know. And then I became vegan, and I love it. I love the lifestyle. I'm a happier person the more I care about others, and you know that just jives with my whole spiritual path.
I got to tell you, to Ali's point, which is that it's great to see this. We've seen you. We've known you for so long,
right?
And you've come in so many times that we were like, oh man,
we're gonna
lose
him.
Guy's really struggling. Like we were really concerned, and it really does make us genuinely happy.
Well, thank you
so
much, man.
To see you so positive and happy and loving
it. It makes me so happy to see you guys thriving the way that you are and the way that the world's changing. It's, you know, you guys are titans of terrestrial radio.
No one has ever used the word titan before with us.
Well, that's great. I think you are. And I've always said you're my favorite radio station, and I stand by that.
I would like you to tell us, and I know we're sort of running out of time, if you could give us the short version. I was reading a story about you and Mike Tyson and in the psych ward. And
that's right. We were locked up in a psychiatric ward together. You know, like when the special comes out, right? Once you've had your material aired, then that you know you retire that material, you build a new show. And so I've been working on a new show since I taped the special back in November. And a lot of the new material I'm having fun with is the saga of my relationship with Mike Tyson, which began in a bathroom in the Hollywood Hills at this house where we spent probably 2 to 3 hours going through a good 8.5 balls of cocaine between the two
of
us.
Just the two of you.
Wow.
Yeah, it was something else, man.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was a very touching thing. It was, I mean, there was like...
It was touching.
It was touching.
You were solving the world's problems in that bathroom.
We were. We were.
All right, so then you don't talk to him for a while.
Then I was in a psychiatric ward in 2008, and he came... as a patient, and we were in this creepy TV room in the loony bin, and I was trying to talk him into filming a stunt with me when we got out. I said, you know, Mike, I'm not asking you to punch me. I'm just asking you to hold your fist out and keep it still with your elbow locked and let me run into it with my face, attempting to give myself a black eye. And
how is that any better than not being punched?
Well, I mean, it's just funnier. It's so much dumber when you run into it, you know?
What did he say?
He said, I don't want to hurt you, Steve. And so then then that didn't happen, but I had more important things to worry about, like how to live and how to be sober.
There's that, sure.
Now, here's where it gets crazy. When we were filming Jackass 3D, Bam Margera snuck up behind me with a cup of water in his hand and the boxing glove, and he did the trick where he threw the water in my face and...
You turned.
It was supposed to be in slow motion, but he didn't do it in front of the slow motion camera, and he broke my nose.
Oh.
And so after 2 months of fuming about it, I finally decided I didn't like the way my nose looked. I said, I'm going to a nose doctor, and the movie's going to pay for it. And so I went to this nose doctor who said, I would love to help you, but it's already healed this way. It's been 2 months. So if you want me to straighten your nose now, I got to re-break it with a chisel.
With a chisel?
So
is that the best medicine?
That's what he said.
He used the word chisel.
He was joking, though.
Well, no.
Was this in his van?
That's some kind of chisel. I don't know.
A chisel.
So I told him it doesn't bother me that much, and I lived with it for another year. But then came the Charlie Sheen roast. Of course, Mike Tyson and I were both on it.
Right.
And so I got the agent who put us on there to talk him into it, you know. And so he, at the roast, he held out his fist. And I went running into it. I dove into it with my face. I landed perfectly square on his fist with nothing but my nose. Broke it so dramatically. It was parked underneath my right eye.
Oh, no.
Gushing blood. And so then that was the last thing that happened on stage that night. So everybody gets up, and they're sort of starting to leave. And I hear this guy screaming, "Steve-O, your nose needs to be set right now." You know, and like while it's just happened.
Right.
And I remember what the doctor said, so I know the guy's for real. So the guy comes up to the stage. He says, "I'm a kung fu instructor."
I've
set like 20 broken noses, and it was broken so badly I knew the guy couldn't make it look any worse.
Right.
So I put my trust in him, and I sat down, and he just wrenched my nose back in the spot it needed to be in, and he kept messing with it and messing. He kung fu'd my nose perfect. Yeah.
This is the result.
Yeah.
Oh, he does good work.
I showed up at that Charlie Sheen roast with a crooked nose, and I left with the straight one because I got a Mike Tyson kung fu nose job.
Come on. That's the best story ever.
It's really good.
Right? USA! Dave, you woke up with a live chicken in your bed. What happened?
No. Hold on. Let's rewind here.
Okay.
So I saw a tweet from one of my friends saying that she woke up with a taco in her bed.
Oh, now, that is not a euphemism?
No. It was
okay, not a euphemism.
And then she tweeted the actual tacos. Very funny. And that reminded me
So she fell asleep while eating the taco?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
And that reminded me of a story where I also fell asleep while trying to eat food, and it happened to be fried chicken.
Fried chicken.
So I woke up. I see the fried chicken in bed with me.
Right.
And like a corpse on The Walking Dead, I was trying to eat it. No arms, no legs, just trying to bite at it, going, nah, nah, nah.
Wait, but you weren't. But it wasn't close enough to eat?
Nope. It was just far enough, and I was so drunk that I couldn't get it.
Really? You were right so drunk that you couldn't move your hand?
Yep, and I went right back to bed.
Huh.
Why don't we start with Manuel? Whoops, that's not even the right button. Why don't we start with Manuel? He's on line one. Hey, Manuel.
Good morning. How are you, gentlemen?
Very good, thank you. You woke up to what surprise?
Yesterday, I bought a big bottle of vodka in the morning. And I was drinking throughout the day. I felt I had to get something to eat. I went down the street to a popular Tom's Five, bought a half quarter, what is it called? Half chicken, fried chicken, fries and salad. I woke up this morning with the drumstick bone on my hand and the rest of the chicken still in the container. Laid out with, orange, cause I mixed my vodka with orange juice.
Sure.
And laid out and half of my shirt filled with orange juice.
Wow.
And I was just out.
Let's go to Matt, line three, please. Matt is up in Lancaster. He's got a story for us.
Hey, Matt. Hey, guys. How you doing?
We are good. You woke up to what surprise?
I was at a bachelor party with my buddies back in New Orleans, and I got amazingly hammered on some grenades, and then I woke up the next morning around 6 a.m. on the lawn at Harrah's Casino with the sprinkler running.
Sweet. That's how you woke up, was getting hit by water?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And what are those first few seconds like as it's starting to come into focus and you realize where you are and what you're doing?
Pretty bad. It was like, you know, I woke up and there was like a family of like three walking right by, like a 10-year-old girl looking at me, and I felt like them with like the biggest piece of crap in the world.
Uh-huh. What you needed was a bottle of vodka. And some fried chicken. Appreciate the call. Let's go down one line to line eight, please, in Cyprus, and let's say hi to Sarah.
Yes.
You woke up and found what?
Had been out partying. This is when I was a little younger in my 20s, still lived at home. So next morning I wake up and I hear my parents, and they're like, "Well, her car's outside, and she can't be walking. Her shoes are here. I don't know. Where could she be?" So I open my eyes. In the guest room, in bed with Grandma.
Yeah. You're in bed with Grandma.
Totally naked in bed with Grandma.
Oh, no. Wow.
And the bed.
I don't think that's what it is, Kevin. No, no.
That music.
No,
okay.
No, it's not that sort of thing.
Wait, was Grandma naked?
No, Grandma was not naked.
Okay, good.
That was really awkward.
Crisis avoided.
The bed was in a corner, so I look over, and my poor grandma's just pressed against the wall, staring at me.
Oh, my Grandma!
How old are you, Sarah, when this story happens?
I was about 23, 24.
Oh, my God. And what did Grandma say?
Grandma didn't didn't have many words, but my parents were like, where were you? How did you end up in here? It was just, it was crazy.
That's pretty sweet. I bet that story is told every Thanksgiving, too.
It's repeated quite a lot. Grandma passed away last year, so even up until then, we're like, remember that time you woke up in bed with Grandma?
That is fantastic. I love it so much. Thank you, Sarah. We appreciate the call. All right, let's go to Palmdale Line 3, please. This is Steve. This one is the most terrifying of the stories we've heard so far, I think. Hey, Steve.
What up, guys?
Woke up to what?
So I woke up in a hospital out of the clothes that I was in to a nurse running over to me and telling me, stop panicking, stop moving. You're going to pull out your own catheter.
Oh.
What?
Steve?
Wait, you didn't? What?
Where? What was the last thing you remembered from the night before?
This was the night before my wedding. So I left the
hospital,
took a nap for a couple hours, and then drove to the place where I was getting married.
But and, what? How did you end up in the hospital? What happened to you?
We did like a Vegas thing. We got married outside of Vegas.
Right.
And we went to go party, and I just didn't make it out of that club. I'm not much of a drinker, and everybody's just handing me drinks, and next thing I remember, I woke up in the hospital, and the nurse was holding me down, and she was like, stop.
Wow.
I gotta pull out the catheter, because if you pull it out, you're going to do something, like, terrible to your junk. And I was like, ugh! And then I froze up, and I was like, go ahead. That is the worst feeling ever.
So did you end up getting married?
Yeah, I've happily been married about 2.5 years now.
Well, she is she's
very lucky.
A great woman, that's for sure. All right, Chris, take us home, buddy, in Long Beach. What's happening?
Hey, what's up, guys? So I was really young. I was like 18. I went to this house party, and they're like, okay, everybody has to go. So I'm like, oh, perfect. I just poured a whole red solo cup full of vodka, another one full of cranberry. I walk out the door. My friend's like, you're not getting in my car with that. So I just chug them both. We get to my house. I'm already partway blacked out. We start drinking Smirnoff, a whole case of Smirnoff Ices, those, like, chick drinks. I get so blacked out off those things. My friends carry me inside, put me in bed. I wake up the next morning, and there's poo everywhere.
Oh,
all
no.
Over my bathroom, all over the hallway.
Nope.
What?
Poo everywhere. And I'm like, what happened? I'm spotless. I took a shower, apparently. Exactly. So, and you know in the bathroom you have the air freshener?
Yeah.
I don't know what I was thinking. I just threw it right in the middle of the pile. Just
And how did that work for you?
It freshened it up so fresh and so clean. I just got to give a big shout out to my friend Santiago. He took the blame for me. I told my roommate it was my friend Santiago.
Nice. You got a friend take the blame. That's strong.
Oh, yeah. I told him, I don't know what he did, but he made a mess.
Nah, he sure did. He sure made a mess. All right. Wow. Thanks, Chris. Banjos.
Banjos in the morning. We should call
watching
this
you
show
air
Banjos in the Morning.
I don't
That's
think we
what we should call it.
Really?
Welcome to K-Rock. It's Banjos in the Morning.
Oh, dear.
I'm Jimmy Banjo. She's Sally Sue Banjo. We're Banjos in the Morning.
Sally Sue.
Imagine waking up to this. Your alarm just went off?
Nope.
It is 6:54 here on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7. K-R-O-Q FM. It is the Kevin and Bean Show. The boys are taking a little break, a little vacation time. However, we are doing our damn sure fired best to bring you live showbiz beats each and every hour. It's kind of fun when they're not around.
Right?
I think. Yeah. It's like the last days of school.
Yeah.
When your exams are over and you're just sort of putting in your time, just knocking around. You show up at class, but you don't really do anything. You just hang out with your friends.
They're just playing movies in the classroom.
Exactly.
Yeah, the teacher wheels like in the movie. You're like, woo!
The end of the year. Let's take a look at some of the showbiz news. Of course, as you know, there's a new Sharknado sequel debuting on July 31st. Sharknado, The Fourth Awakens.
I mean...
It is the fourth in the series.
I don't hate it.
Sci-Fi Network has released an additional list of guest stars. A lot of cameos, a lot of guest stars in the upcoming Sharknado sequel. We get Steve Gutenberg.
Sure. The Goots.
My buddy the Goots is stopping by. He plays car owner in the film. So I'm assuming
Steve.
It's not a big role. I think they probably
You don't
just
know,
shows
man.
Up.
You haven't seen it.
Well, no, I haven't. That's true. However, it's kind of funny because Steve and I did a film together called Lavalantula.
Sure.
About fire spewing demon spiders from the center of the earth. And while we were filming that, Ian Ziering from the Sharknado franchise did a cameo in our movie.
Right.
There's a little crossover there.
Yeah.
While Gutenberg's running down the street trying to stop spiders, he runs into Iron on the street on Hollywood Boulevard. He's like, hey, can you help me? I need your help. He's like, I got shark problems on my own. And then he runs the other way.
And then he ran into that pirate guy.
Yes.
He was a dick.
He was not.
Awful.
I
hated that guy.
He stole the movie,
worst.
In my opinion. So,
fast forward.
I guess Goots is returning the favor here by showing up.
Nice.
Paul Schaefer is showing up as himself. Well, who else could he play?
Turd Ferguson.
Gilbert Gottfried is going to be a Today Show correspondent, a reporter. How annoying is that going to be?
And so, there's sharks in the sky, and they're falling, and it's going to be awful. People are being eaten, and, there's blood and sharks. Back to you, Katie.
Whoever's hosting this
I think
show.
Your face was one of the best parts of that.
You have to make that face when you do Gilbert Gottfried, or else the sound doesn't come out. Carrot Top will be an Uber driver in the film.
Oh,
now I have
move.
To see this. Gary Busey, of course, as we mentioned earlier, Cheryl Teagues, and the Chippendales dancers will be there.
Oh, my God.
It sounds like a bad variety show from the 70s. Gary Busey, Cheryl Teagues, and the Chippendales dancers join Donnie Marie tonight. So that's worth tuning in for. You would think at this point in our lives that there'd be no Nirvana rarities left to discover. You'd think everything there was to be musically mined from unreleased tapes from Nirvana would be already heard. But such is not the case. There was a fan, who bought a reel of tape from Pachyderm Studios in Minneapolis that claimed to have recordings on it, in the works music that Nirvana had been working on from a session in February of 1993 while they were working on the In Utero album. So the dude buys this reel-to-reel tape, and a lot of it is versions of songs he had heard. But then he discovered two previously unheard Nirvana tracks on the reel of tape. And he has since put them up online this week. They are both instrumentals, and they are both, well, it's understandable why they never got released.
Uh-oh.
I'm just saying, not everything that you discover in the vaults is necessarily, finished quality music.
I was wondering why he put it up on the internet instead of selling it, but I guess I'm going to find out why.
These are instrumental tracks. They're obviously works in progress. One track is called Lullaby, and reportedly Kurt Cobain is playing drums on this track. Here's a little of Lullaby. Okay. Oh, all right.
Okay. Hey!
That sounds like Melfon. That could be an undiscovered Melfon track. And there's another song.
Ooh, do we?
This is kind of cool because this is sort of a precursor to Foo Fighters. This is Dave Grohl in an untitled instrumental track playing all of the instruments on this track.
Huh.
So here's a little song from Dave. Drumming on that track a little bit better than the first one.
Tiny bit, yeah.
Maybe they were all in the right positions in that band when they were forming. So anyway, that's cool for Nirvana fans. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Melissa Rauch from Big Bang Theory is 36 years old today. Actor Joel Edgerton turns 42. Selma Blair, birthday girl, and bad seatmate.
Well,
you do not want to be sitting next to Selma on a plane.
She made a mistake.
When she has a cocktail. And
she made a mistake.
Takes one of her mother's little helpers.
She didn't mean it.
44 years old today. Joss Whedon's 52. Frances McDormand is 59. Randy Jackson turns 60. Glenn Danzig is 61. But the reason we celebrate the day, not my favorite DeBarge, but a really good DeBarge, Chico DeBarge is 50 years old. There we go. Uh-huh. That's right. Yeah. You know I love you. Happy birthday, Chico. Like I said, not the best DeBarge, but a pretty good DeBarge.
And not even involved in DeBarge until they had released their last album. Which, yeah, that's a little factoid. Also at five kids, my favorite child is named Chicoco.
That's real. So much things to do. I have so much best stuff to play.
Do you?
Apparently, yeah, Allie's been recounting Chip with many DeBarge facts this morning, and we've all had enough. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Larry Flint is making a porn parody called The Donald.
Sure. Why wouldn't he?
About Donald Trump.
Larry is not a huge fan of many Republicans, and he has, you know, over the years running his Hustler magazine empire, he has offered sums of money for people who will come forward and tell tales about things that Republicans have done. I mean, there's no secret of his partisanship. He's contributed to Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton's campaigns in the past. But this is his way of kind of keeping his brand in the news, I guess. He says he's filmed this video. It's going to be available for sale tomorrow, and he plans to mail a copy to every Republican member of Congress. I don't know what he thinks that's going to do. Doesn't have anything to do with Donald Trump, but he's going to do it anyway. So we wanted to find out more about this video and what his thoughts are on it. So we have the great Larry Flint joining us on K-Rock right now. Hey, Mr. Flint, welcome back, sir.
Good morning, Captain Bean. How are you?
We're good, thank you. Well, we're fine. I'm not sure what you think this is going to accomplish because it's just a guy who looks like Donald Trump having sex with a woman, right?
But I wanted to show America in explicit detail what Donald Trump would do to America if he were the president of the United States. So you'll see him doing to women what he would do to the country
yes.
if he was elected as a president.
Right. We understand that expression. Yes, works for both situations.
Yeah, it does, yeah.
Did you have trouble casting an actor to play Donald Trump?
I did, because most of the actors who do the videos for Hustler are well endowed. So it was hard to find one appropriately sized to play Donald Trump, because he has a legendarily micro.
Is that right? Micro.
Legendary micro.
Okay, all right. So you're not a fan of the Donald.
I have no personal feelings about the man one way or another. I'm just desperately concerned for what he would do as president. And I think we need to recognize that he's a clown, and we have to treat him accordingly.
Okay. Well, you're certainly doing that. Have you gotten any response from Mr. Trump? He can't be pleased to see something like this.
I haven't heard from him yet, but I'm going to send him a copy of this video and then see if he's got anything to say about it.
Mm. We actually have him on the other line if you want to talk to him.
What?
We have Donald Trump. He's on the phone too?
Yeah.
This is disgusting. You are the worst purveyor of pornography I've ever heard of. You're disgusting, and frankly, you're the worst person in the world.
Well, that's saying something coming from you, Doc.
Sit down! Sit down!
He is sitting down. He's
sitting down. I sit down all the time.
Oh, that's another thing, too. You can't walk. You're all with your legs being non-functional. I have the greatest legs ever.
Do you?
I do the best walking. That's all I do. I walk all over New York. Everyone can see me just walking up and down the street. So already I'm better than you because I can walk.
That's some logic for you right there.
Mr. Trump, I hate to jump in here, but the man was shot. I mean,
somebody
tried to assassinate him and he's paralyzed. It's not really his fault. It's not really the type of thing you make fun of somebody for.
And another thing, no one has ever tried to shoot me. So that makes me better than this guy already. He's disgusting. He's the worst. And if I were to make a porn movie, it would be the greatest porn movie in the history of pornography.
Is that right?
Because I am the most sexual. I am amazingly talented in bed.
Uh-huh.
Trust me, downstairs, no problem. No problem down there at all.
Right.
Now, Larry, I just have one question for this cripple guy in a wheelchair who's a pervert.
Okay.
How hot is the actress who plays my daughter in the movie? That's all I know. She's pretty hot. Because that's all I'm really interested in, seeing the girl who plays my daughter. Because my daughter's incredibly hot.
Yes, you've talked about how you might date her, yeah.
I'd love to see a porn star who looks like my daughter, quite frankly.
Oh, this is so creepy.
And they call me a pervert.
Ralph, I'm glad you're here because you have been on fire since the incident in the kitchen yesterday, and I think it's time to lay down some rules.
It's madness, and I won't stand for it any longer. And I think people are starting to get the message. I think I'm rattling some cages.
Oh.
Because yesterday our boss came in, and very sheepishly he was holding up his cup and said, I made more coffee. So I said, all right.
You can live.
I got the big man nervous. I know people are hearing the message.
So what happened was, refresh people.
Well, it's just a pet peeve of mine because it is the epitome of willful rudeness to your fellow coworker. It's anyone who goes into a community area like the kitchen, and then we have a coffee maker there. And people, three times a week it happens to me, I'll go in there to get some coffee, and the pot will be empty, and it's still warm, and I can tell that someone had come in and drained the last of the coffee from the pot into their cup, and then had to, at that moment, say, you know what? I know other people will come in here for coffee, and I should make another pot before I leave, but F those people. That's what that decision-making process is like. It is the most purposefully rude act that happens to me here at work. Sometimes you can write people off and say, well, they probably just got absent-minded, or they forgot, or they didn't flush, or maybe they, you know, maybe they're parking too much over the line, so I can't get into a space. I mean, there's lots of things you can just write off as just sort of negligence. But this is a willful act of F you, next guy who comes into the kitchen. And I'm the next guy. So they're saying, F you, Ralph. That's what they're saying on a daily basis. And now,
head's gonna roll.
He is a dick.
Right?
What?
No, not the person who did it.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
The person who did it is it.
That's why I leave a tiny little sip in there, just a sip.
Which is almost worse.
That way I don't have to refill it.
That is even worse.
I'm just kidding.
You say, I leave an ounce in there, but I really didn't empty the pot. At least there was still enough in there for a thimble.
And I think about this. I think about this all the time, Ralph. I mean, just
in your workplace, Bean. Do you?
No. Just something as simple as you go to McDonald's and you realize that 20 people have just gotten up and left their trays on the table. You know what? That's not a way to exist. You dump your trash and put your tray away when you leave. It just makes things move more smoothly and better for everybody.
That's rudeness, but it can be excused away by someone's wrong-headed thinking, which is, I'm a customer. I've paid for this. There are people in the employ of McDonald's whose job it is to clean up. So it's rude. I wouldn't do it. But you could see where maybe there's an out there for someone who thinks that way.
I leave just like a half a fry on it. Just that much.
But I can't imagine the thought process of someone who will not make a pot of coffee for the next person who comes in there after they have used the coffee.
What about if I were to give to you as an example of poor workplace decision making, somebody who monopolizes the office toilet for 3.5 out of every 4 hours? What if I had that guy standing to your left, Ralph?
How dare you? Here's what I know. I was starving. Was it earlier this week or last week? Starving, and Muggs usually goes and gets food. If one person's hungry, that's the rule. We go get food, everybody eats, everybody's happy. Couldn't find Muggs. Where is he? Don't know. Dave, where's Muggs? Don't know. Can't find him. Hasn't been here in 10 minutes.
He disappeared.
15 minutes. Where's Muggs? What's happening? It's in the middle of the show. 20 minutes.
Now we're concerned. Now we're notifying his parents. We're looking local emergency rooms.
We literally are sending someone out to the parking lot to see if his car is still here. Because we think maybe there's been an emergency.
We put an Amber Alert out. Remember? We put an Amber Alert out. It was in all the freeway billboards.
So in strolls Muggs, all happy as can be. And we're like, where have you been?
And looking pretty light on his feet, too, if I recall correctly.
Muggs?
Muggs, where were you?
I was doing the number two.
Okay, but let me ask you a question.
Yes.
First of all, who can do that for 20 minutes?
He didn't believe it was that long.
I didn't think it was that long.
Second of all, you don't have any kind of internal clock where you go, I'm at work and I have a job to do, so I know it's been 15 minutes.
Maybe I can't enjoy a leisurely trip to the bathroom the way I would
at
home.
But I'm going to stay here for another 10. Nothing in your mind goes, hey, I should maybe move this along or step out and go work for a second and come back. Nothing.
Maybe I should urgently offload and then get right back to my particular job.
Or break it up into like
5 minutes of every hour, maybe right. something like that is the way to go.
Do a shift poop.
Had I known, Kevin, that you were
no. It doesn't matter.
It's not about what he wanted you to do. You're here to do a job.
I know.
Didn't you think, regardless if I'm hungry or not, didn't you think that we have a show going? Were you listening to the show? It's on in the bathroom.
Not in the bathroom I'm in.
Oh, you went to the bathroom that doesn't have
you
our station.
The executive bathroom. Executives don't like to listen to us, so they have to make sure that there's no radio piped
into
that.
There's no internal clock in your head that just goes, wow, I have a job. I got to get back.
Not at that moment there wasn't.
You must have really been enjoying that poo.
But Muggs came out. I kid you not. Muggs came out in a smoking jacket, and he had a pipe. And I looked inside the bathroom, and there was an ottoman. He had his feet kicked up on an ottoman while he was in there.
A couple of magazines, a few books.
It looked like a library. He had volumes of literature there that he was perusing.
It's probably not the best use of my and CBS Radio's time.
Oh, really?
But
that's the conclusion you're coming to now?
But I had to make sure that everything was clean and everything was...
Oh, my God.
Take it easy. Okay.
But you could have had your whole body waxed in that time.
Coach Wilkie tweets at me in Beer Mug's defense. It's a meme of Elmo sitting on a toilet. Boss makes a dollar, I make a dime. That's why I poop on company time. You got a lot of support, Ralph, for that coffee pot faux pas that
people
are making.
It's willful evil.
So if you drink the last cup out of the pot, it's your responsibility to make a new cup. This Thomas writes in, says, "Don't you guys remember the commercial? You killed the Joe, make some mo."
No, right. I don't remember that.
No, yeah. I remember that.
It was Terry Tate, office linebacker.
That's right. Yeah. That's exactly what it was.
Yep.
P.S. from Kevin Bean listener Ready Made, who says, in reference to Beer Mug and all the time in the bathroom, come on with the come on also about not installing a new roll of toilet paper when it has run out.
You know what? That is the coffee pot of the butt.
It is. The coffee pot of the butt. All right. We got some good ones here. Where do you want to start? Why don't we start with Ken in Calabasas? He's on line one. I don't know that everybody will be on Ken's side for this one.
Hey, Ken.
Hi.
Hi.
Long-time listener.
Thank you.
We have a thermostat issue in the office.
Thermostat
There's
issue.
There's a girl that loves it cold.
Right.
Always cold. And the bothersome part is she will have on, I'll say, three layers of clothes.
And that's offensive.
So,
I think you're missing the point, Kevin.
Now Kevin's angry, too.
and any time anyone else would adjust it to warm it up, she would be back up there to put it cold.
Mm.
This lasted about a year. She left, and then a bizarro employee came in and had it always hot. And she would come in and it'd take five.
You sound like a troublemaker to me.
It's not Ken's fault.
I don't know. Ken was there for the cold. Ken's there for the hot.
Right.
Comedy
Ken's never happy.
Ken.
All right, Ken. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it, sir. Let's try Catherine. Costa Mesa, please. Line two.
Hey, Catherine.
This is the worst. We had a lady who for 2 years had microwaved eggs for breakfast and fish for lunch.
Oh, she's the worst.
That's a tough 1-2 punch.
Put a note on the microwave saying, please don't cook things with lingering stink. Then it became an HR issue that we were attacking her choice of meal.
Oh, my Lord.
And she went to HR.
I hate her.
Oh.
This is why China's crushing us in business right now. Because we're wasting time on fish and eggs.
I will say fish, eggs, and broccoli should never be in the microwave.
Throw cauliflower in the mix, too, by the way.
How about, people would think we had a plumbing problem all the time.
Right?
So what do you think that lingers? Any smell
how about popcorn,
lingers?
You guys? What's your ruling on popcorn in the microwave?
Well, if you can take it out in time that it's not burnt,
right, don't
fine.
Burn it.
As long as it doesn't burn.
Yeah.
By the way, you don't need to eat popcorn at work. Go to the freaking movies. You're at work. Just eat your meal and
now
shut
you're
up.
Judging
unless it's fish.
Unless it's fish. You need some nice, odor-neutral foods.
Thank you, Catherine. Great call. All right, let's try line six, please. Pico Rivera, let's say hello to our friend Mario on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Mario.
I think that the worst person is the freaking person that only eats half of a donut and puts it back in the box.
Yeah. What about that?
I do that for comedy's sake, but you only take one bite and then you put it back.
Yeah,
to be funny.
That kind of person, they need to be fired immediately because you're either on the bus or you're off the bus. There's no in between.
So eat the donut or don't.
And right. Let's lump him in with the handlers, with the donut handlers, the one who's picking it up, everyone up to take a good close look at it and what's on there, and then putting it back in the box after they put their stank all over it.
Yeah, don't touch somebody else's food.
Right. Also goes for the bagel eaters and the pastry eaters.
All right, Mario. Freaking pastry eaters.
Oh,
that's the worst.
Crazy.
That's going on the list. Great call. Thank you. Culver City up next. Line 7. It's Natalie.
Hi. Good morning.
Workplace etiquette.
All right. So I work in an open office environment, so no cubicles.
Mm-hmm.
And I have someone that sits right across from me that clips his fingernails.
Nope.
Oh, no.
My Lord.
Clipping any nails, not to be done at work.
No.
Guys, exactly. That's the number one email I'm getting this morning from
clipping
multiple
nails?
Listeners is people who are cutting their nails at the desk.
It
what?
Is so, it's disgusting to hear. And there's 10 fingers, you hear 10 clips.
And you know they're not all going on the desk. Those are flying all over the place.
You're getting shrapnel.
Oh, that's disgusting.
It's really, really gross.
That's a slippery slope because then the foot comes up on the desk, right?
Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Dear Kevin and Bean, I have a coworker who constantly eats sunflower seeds, not just in his private office. He walks around the office talking to people all the while sucking and chewing and spitting into a cup.
Oh,
sweet
it's
Jesus.
Absolutely disgusting.
Let's go to Dave.
Where all does right. Dave work?
I don't want to work there. Dave in Los Angeles, this is maybe the worst thing we've heard.
And maybe a unique problem to you, Dave.
What's happening?
Dave, what's happening at your work?
About a year ago, mysteriously, we had some folk leave a poop on the floor of the bathroom rather than in the toilet.
Oh, come on.
We had that here. You guys
that has
that.
Happened at K-Rock
Yes,
before.
It has.
We had it at KTLA in a trash can.
Really? A mystery pooper?
We know who it was, but yes.
Who was it? Was it you, Allie?
Oh, it was not.
Okay. Dave, this happened more than once?
This happened more than once. This happened about 3 times, It was kept hush-hush. It was dealt with. Letters went out that basically said, hey, listen, this is not appropriate behavior.
That is so funny that a letter had to go out to say that.
Guys,
don't poop on the floor.
Let me ask Dave and let me ask the room, what's going on with that person who poops on the floor? What's happening? What's the message there?
Ask Sam Rubin. He was the one at KTLA.
It's
absolutely Sam. You know it was. It was so Sam Rubin.
It's either someone who's disgruntled or
gruntled.
Possibly we have some outsourced foreigners who maybe that's not the
norm.
Oh, I don't know.
Come on.
Easy, President Trump. What's going on here?
Donald Trump.
All right, let's just roll back the tape to where Ralph said it
they
was Sam
in,
Rubin. And
right.
then
all the foreigners come in and they poop on the floor. That's just the truth. And I know a lot of poops. I got the greatest poops in the world.
Wake up, you need to make money.
Yeah, boy! You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ-FM. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. It's 7:54. We're doing Showbiz Beats live all week long, even though Kevin and Bean are off, sunning themselves in Rio, getting the Zika virus.
Are they in Rio?
Passing the Olympic torch around.
Kevin's obviously at some kind of museum.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's probably studying abroad.
Yeah.
That's my guess. Speaking of live, we will be taking your phone calls live just after the top of the hour, doing what's good?
Like we always do at this time.
Yep. Even though it changes every time
every
we
day.
Do it. If you've got something you'd like to talk about, things that aren't being covered, things you feel passionately about, maybe you have a personal anecdote you'd like to share. Maybe you want to talk about the Brexit. I'm guessing a lot of you want to talk about the Brexit.
So many people.
Brexit.
Maybe you want to talk about the new Vegas NHL team. How about
yeah.
that? It's happening for real. There's a lot of stuff going on in the news. Why just listen to the show when you can be part of the show? Allie McKay, Chip, and myself will be here to take your phone calls and what's good after the top of the hour. We'd love to talk to you. So call us now. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call, and we'll be taking your calls just after the top of the hour. Maybe you want to talk about the new Ghostbusters song that just dropped this morning. You know, of course, Paul Feig is rebooting the Ghostbusters franchise with an all-female cast. That news has been met with mixed reaction. The trailers have split people down the middle, whether they're looking forward to this new Ghostbusters or whether they're mourning the loss of the original.
It's where'd it go?
It's gone.
Can't, it's gone?
Can't see it anymore, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Every
Rest
copy,
in peace.
Wow.
Copy.
Along with childhoods, I hear.
Yes. And a big part of that movie, of course, was the signature song by Ray Parker Jr.
Yeah.
Ghostbusters. Who are you going to call? Ghostbusters. Well, just like the movie, that song now has been rebooted. A brand new version of the Ghostbusters theme done by Fall Out Boy and a little appearance by Missy Elliott. Are you afraid? You should be. You should be very afraid. Although the movie has been split down the middle regarding people's feelings about it, the song, everyone feels almost universal about the song.
Ah, they love it?
Consequenceofsound.net website maybe had one of my favorite reviews saying, this will be what the CIA will soon be using to torture detainees in Guantanamo Bay.
That's, so they like it.
That's a mild review of the song. It's Oof. You be the judge. Here's okay. Fall Out Boy's Ghostbusters remake, Ghostbusters theme, I Ain't Afraid. Not afraid.
He's not. Maybe he should be a little
but
bit.
But maybe Missy Elliott jumps in.
Okay.
Starts spitting some mad rhymes.
Right?
That'll save everything.
Okay.
Let's take a listen.
Can't sleep when I'm home alone. Nighttime, my lights on. Ooh, got me scared. Ooh, hiding underneath my bed. In my closet, down the hall. I see shadows all on my wall. Man, he must be big and tall. Ghostbuster, who you gonna call?
Man, these monsters be big and tall.
Woo!
Woo!
I feel like you didn't need to reboot the song.
Yeah.
Maybe come up with something completely on
right.
your own.
Right, maybe don't touch that. Let
At
that
all.
Be over there.
At
Let
all.
That be that.
Yes.
And then we're going to do our thing over here.
That would have been nice.
Yeah.
Aw.
Right now, Bobby Brown's waiting for an apology from somebody for his Ghostbusters 2 theme, I think.
Oh, my God. I forgot about that.
Yeah, you forgot about
wow.
that.
Wow.
Drake. This is interesting. I was wondering if this might happen, and I do not blame people. You know, after the Christina Grimmie tragedy, the horror that was that fan who shot and killed her at her own meet and greet, I wondered if it would have a chilling effect on artists doing those VIP meet and greets after
yeah.
their concerts. And this is the first story I've seen, but I wouldn't be surprised if this became a trend. He is doing his Summer 16 tour, Drake is. And he, like many artists, now have a high-end, big-buck VIP meet-and-greet. After the show, you get a chance to meet Drake and have your photo taken with him. Well, all of those have been canceled.
Ugh.
Drake has given the money back to everyone who ponied up big cash for the VIP meet-and-greets. The official reason is scheduling issues. But yeah. I gotta think that after what happened to Christina Grimmie, that many artists are saying, I just don't feel safe
yeah.
anymore. And I can't blame him. It's terrifying, but it's also just tragic. But if you're looking forward to meeting Drake, that ain't going to happen.
Sorry, Chip.
And Amy Poehler's picked up a new deal with NBC. She's got a new comedy in the works that'll be airing on that network called The Baby. Sounds like a funny concept. Sean William Scott will play a young man who's the youngest in an organized crime family. However, the entire organized crime family is women. It's his mother and seven sisters. And they are a family of criminals, and he is the youngest and gets pushed around, bullied, and picked on by all the ladies in his life.
Like Animal Kingdom, but dudes.
Animal Kingdom is dudes.
Yeah.
This will be women.
Right, that's what I said.
No, that's not what you said at all.
Not at all.
But they are both headed by a mother, that's for sure.
Yes.
Yeah. I just finally caught up all the episodes of Animal Kingdom that I missed. What a great season
I'm
it's
saying.
Been.
It's so good.
It's hard to watch, though.
It's
because
dark.
Because the tension, no, mm-hmm. it's not about the darkness. I can handle darkness. Mm-hmm. But the tension is never ending.
Yeah.
There's no moment where you say,
no,
okay, well,
let
this
up.
Is fine. You
yeah.
think every time anyone's with anyone, be they family, friend,
yeah.
whatever, lover, you think someone is going to do something awful to someone in the next moment.
Yeah. It's a butthole pucker kind of show.
Put that on the poster.
I'm
sure
saying.
TNT will be running that in their promos.
They should. It's a great show.
Alan McKay says, it's a butthole pucker kind of show. Tune in tonight for a new Animal Kingdom.
Love it so much.
Hey, call us now, 1-800-520-1067. If you've got something you'd like to talk about, we'll be doing What's Good just after the top of the hour. In the meanwhile, let's take a look at celebrity birthdays. Glenn Danzig of Danzig is 61. Randy Jackson, former judge on American Idol, 60 years old today. Frances McDormand, 59. Joss Whedon, director, writer, extraordinaire, 52. Selma Blair is 44. Joel Edgerton is 42. Marissa Rauch from Big Bang Theory is 36. And Chico DeBarge, maybe one of the lesser DeBarges, but still a pretty good DeBarge. Leave them all behind.
Yeah, yeah.
Leave all those worries behind. Woo!
Woo!
Who you gonna call? Woo! I ain't afraid. Chico DeBarge is 50 years old. I'd rather hear the DeBarge family do the Ghostbusters theme. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ-FM. Thanks so much for tuning in. The boys are on vacation. However, we still want to hear what you have to say. What's on your mind? And we do that with a segment we call What's Good?
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify. What are we missing and not talking about? Call up so we could be down. 1-800-520-1067. What's good?
What's good?
What's good? Let's talk about what's happening in your world. Let's kick things off with a topic that's been on my mind a lot, too. Josh in Glendora on line 5. Good morning, Josh. What's good?
Good morning. How you doing?
Good, sir. What's up?
I just wanted to send my thoughts and prayers and a heartfelt thanks to all the firefighters out there fighting the fires. I've never wanted to be a firefighter so bad. I feel for those guys.
You want to be a firefighter seeing what they're going through?
I do. I was going to when I was 17, and I wish I was now. I really wish I could help.
I'll tell you something. It is remarkable work that they're doing. Of course, we're talking about these wildfires going up near Santa Barbara. And
San Bernardino.
And San Bernardino as well, yeah.
Yeah.
These guys are working like 12-hour shifts.
And then sleeping on the pavement.
And sleeping on the pavement yeah. with like a sacked lunch and just the dedication and putting themselves in harm's way trying to save homes and property and land. It is remarkable. And you're right. We should give them a lot of praise. Firefighters is one of those jobs which is just, I mean, the hot shots, the guys who do the forest work. This time of year, it's just relentless for them. Yeah. But even the guys who work in the cities, when you go to work, you never know what's going to be happening for you that day. And it's like the police and a lot of first responders.
They don't get thanked enough as far as I'm concerned.
I appreciate it. You're right, Josh. Thanks so much for calling in. We appreciate it. We mentioned this a little bit ago about new hockey news. Fans of hockey were excited by the news today. Let's talk to Blake in line 6 from Atlanta, Georgia. Atlanta.
Hey, Ralph.
Hey, Blake. What are you calling us from Hotlanta about today?
I'm talking about new hockey. I'm so excited. I'm actually originally from SoCal, listening to you guys on the podcast for about 10 years now, and been a Ducks fan this whole time, but I'm always up for more hockey.
Ducks
more
fan.
Teams.
Are you a long-time fan then?
I am a long-time fan then.
Excellent. Do you still follow the Ducks even though you live in Georgia?
I do. I've only been in Georgia for about a year, so.
Well, tell your voice.
Yeah.
You have an accent.
You sure
Blake.
Sound like you lived there longer, Blake.
That's what I've been told. But
of course, you're talking about the new team in Vegas, right? Just happened.
Yeah.
The owner ponied up half a billion dollars, and now it looks like it's going to happen in
2018 season, yeah.
Yeah, it's really. I'm excited. I actually hope it leads to more expansion.
Oh, I think it will. Yeah.
Hey, maybe we can get another team back here in Atlanta so I can watch live hockey again.
Yeah.
That's what I miss.
No name for the team yet, but they're bouncing around the Black Knights, I heard.
Ooh.
That could be interesting.
It's kind of sexy. I hope Vegas gets more sports teams in general. It'd be awesome to be able to go to Vegas for a weekend and catch a live game.
Absolutely.
Of something.
It seems like such a no-brainer.
Yeah. But I think the gambling aspect of it always threw a spanner in the works. We'll say thanks, Blake. Thanks for calling in, man.
Go Ducks. Thank you.
Go Ducks. Quack.
Nope.
Let's talk to Laura in San Pedro. She's got an important issue of the day on her mind, and I think we need to talk about this. A lot going on in Congress right now. Let's talk about Congress. Laura.
Yes, there's a luxury tax, 36 cents per dollar for tampons, maxi pads, and douches.
Okay, hold on. Time out. You're telling me there's 36 cents on every dollar that they charge for tampons and maxi pads?
Yes. 9 cents with our state sales tax. Different states, it's less. But go to the 99-cent store and buy your little panty liners, and yeah, you will find there's 36 cents.
And we're joking about this. This is a luxury tax.
A luxury
on what
tax
is a necessity.
Well, it's not a necessity.
It's a necessity.
Oh, just grab some cotton balls.
You are disgusting.
Come on,
hate
Allie.
Hate to break it to you, Ralph. It's a necessity, and it shouldn't be taxed.
A luxury tax on Tampa. And so, are they going to remove this? Is that the plan?
Well, they're discussing it, but the Republicans shut down Congress early this morning, Eastern time, because of the, that sit-in about gun control law. So they didn't even put it was on the calendar, so now they haven't discussed it. But it's good that it's in the media, because you guys are talking about it.
You know what we need? We need a bunch of women to go down there and have a bleed-in. Down there on the floor of Congress.
With you right now.
We need a bleed in on the floor of Congress. And no break, no bill. On the right, tampons. Free the tampons.
Swear to God.
Free, no tampons, no peace. That's what I say.
You would say that if there were no tampons. Trust me.
You, Laura. We'll be back right after this.
What's good?
You know I love the Weather Channel, Kevin.
Yes, you do.
I feel like every day there's new tornadoes on there. They had 8 of them in Oklahoma on Monday. Winds up to 140 miles an hour. It's miraculous that nobody was killed. 10 people were hurt in Kentucky. But this one is of particular attention to a lot of people because of a news report that came out of Channel 6 in Mayfield. Mayfield, Kentucky is where this tornado stopped down. And Jennifer Horbelt is out on the scene, and she's in a parking lot where it just looks like Legos have just been turned over by a little kid. And she finds a couple to interview on the news about their tornado.
This parking lot appears to just be completely demolished, many of the cars here. I actually ran into these folks. This is Mary Powell and this is Alan McCartney. They were just down Wayne at the slaughterhouse picking up some fish when they heard and...
Okay.
What is the slaughterhouse and why is it fish?
I don't want to go to the slaughterhouse.
No.
I know that for a fact.
I'm also concerned about... It's called the Farmer's Slaughterhouse.
They slaughter farmers?
I don't know what they do there, but it is weird. You don't usually hear the term slaughterhouse in association with fish. Usually that's where you would go for cows and pigs, I would think, right?
Sure.
And it's not a real slaughterhouse. It must be the name of a business where you can go and buy meat, I assume, right?
A horrible name.
That's a terrible name.
Yeah, it's rough. All right.
And they saw this tornado come through. Mary, what exactly did you hear and see?
All right, before I let you hear Mary, because you're going to fall very deeply in love with her, and you're going to have the same reaction we had, which is, why haven't the Gregory brothers auto-tuned her yet? By the way, Mary is black, 6 feet tall. Alan looks like he's 25 years older than her. White guy, kind of dumpy and old, wearing a Young and Gettin' It t-shirt. Young and Gettin' It, by the way, is, I think, a reference to this song from Meek Mill, if you remember this.
Just want the money. Got to keep them bitches. I'm young and I'm getting it. I'm young and I'm getting it.
Now, where does this guy get a t-shirt?
Where does he get that t-shirt?
Meek Mill song.
Yes!
That's insane. 65-year-old
white guy is wearing the Meek Mill t-shirt, and he's with this very attractive, much younger black lady. All right, so let's hear from Mary.
I heard a big noise sounding like a truck. I said, what in the world is that? So I was finna get out. He said, no, you ain't. I said, what is that out? He said, that's a tornado. So he let the windows up and held me down in the seat, and I was hollering, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. It was down, and it went up and went right over my van. Thank you, Lord.
Okay, now, I don't speak Mary, Allie. Maybe you do. Where were she and Al at the time the tornado hit? Are they in a car?
They were in the van with the windows down. So they, I guess, were fixing to get out to the slaughterhouse to get some fish. It's all very sketchy. I feel like they were just in the parking lot. I don't know what they were doing.
Okay.
I feel like they were in the van and they were doing it. That's what
I know you do.
He was young and getting it.
But look at him again, Dean.
He's young and getting it. But
is he hold on. Is he young and paying for it?
Yes, okay. He's young and paying for it. That's what I'm suggesting here. I think that's the only possibility. In fact, I was stunned that Mary knew Al's name in this news report. I was stunned by that. All right, here's more.
But that's what happened. It come right over my head.
I can't even imagine the feelings you guys must have been going through. So you actually helped get her down, right, Alan?
Yeah. Now, what does that mean? He helped her get her down. Is that what he's paying for, or is that
to get out of the way of the wind?
He protected her in the car. He kind of put his whole body over her.
He held her down so that the thing couldn't take her.
Yeah.
He was willing to lay down on top of this nice lady? That's what he was willing to do for her?
That's what he did. Total gentleman.
All right. Now, you tell me these two are a couple. You just heard Mary, okay? Now listen to the dynamic Al.
I told her to lay down, and I covered her over.
Oh, gosh. Have you guys ever been through a tornado before?
No, I've never seen one in my life.
When you look around at all the damage, I mean, what kind of damage have you guys seen?
It was just, it stopped flying in the air. I guess what it done took up here.
So, could I hear Mary again there, please?
It was just, it stopped flying in the air. I guess what it done took up here.
Right.
Mary's damage is the stuff flying in the air, and Al was doing damage to Mary, I suspect.
I'm not positive that he was doing any damage.
Dude, Al was putting in work. This thing caught them right in the middle. I'm surprised they're dressed in this interview. I really am. I am convinced that's what's going on here.
I feel like they're in love, and they just wanted to go to the slaughterhouse, get some fish. Maybe they were going to barbecue later.
And bean-sulling this
whole
thing.
I feel like you're just ruining this sweet love story. He protected her. He laid down on her.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he sure did. I want them to be a couple. I want them to have a full-time reality show. I want full-time. I want 24-7. I want to follow Mary and Al.
It was flying out in the air, so it went to the right behind the slaughterhouse. Then it went up, wasn't it? Then it come back down, and it went on around.
I also want her full-time on the Weather Channel describing all weather events.
When you look down at yourselves and you see that you're okay, What goes through your mind, seeing that you're all right?
That God had an angel over us. And that's what I see. God is good, because that van, it tipped a little bit, and that tornado just went over that van, because it came straight to us.
I'm going to ask you, Kevin, because we learned on yesterday's show that you're a believer in the God of condensation. Is God saving you if he's leveling your town? I mean, is that a good God?
I don't feel like God is handpicking people. Like, he didn't go, that guy's got a great shirt. I'm gonna protect
him. I'm gonna spare him.
I'm gonna spare him. He's got that meat meal shirt.
That's right.
And when I said Jesus, 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 that tornado went up over his van.
You guys are very lucky. Thank you for talking with us. I want to show you guys really quickly.
Okay, that she moves on.
Yeah, that's the mistake right there. She needs to ask questions all day,
right?
Yeah. They are magic.
I hope you guys are right. I hope I'm misreading the situation.
You are.
This wasn't just $5 for 5 minutes. I hope that they are young and love.
She said, Jesus, protect us, as if it was a couple.
Right?
They're a couple.
Exactly.
They're in love.
Good. Good.
And don't soil that.
I feel better already. Thanks.
Okay, good.
South Africa is where we take you right now. There is a preacher in the news who has been creating a little bit of a controversy because he's the leader of the Church of Incredible Happenings, by the way. Which sounds like an awesome church.
That does sound pretty
cool. That sounds like it'd be a fun place to go to church.
Yeah. Only better would be the church of what's happening.
Exactly. And he is very popular there and claims to have recently visited heaven and taken photos of heaven on his smartphone. Now, Kevin, you may have dived deeper into the story than I did.
Yeah.
Did he die and then come back to life?
I haven't seen that. How did
he visit heaven?
I don't think so. I think he just visited. I think it was just a temporary visa.
Huh.
I think because he's a prophet, he's able just to go wherever, right?
So he could go without even...
Is that how it works?
I just said, right? Like, that's a thing.
Prophet Mburo from South Africa took pictures of heaven on his smartphone. And here's the best part of this article from the BBC. Those eager to see photographic proof of the afterlife will have to open their wallets, though. Mburo has asked those who wish to view the pictures for a donation of about 5,000 rand, which is about, I don't know, $500, right? Roughly? $500-$600 to see photos of heaven.
Right, but where else can you get photos of heaven?
So
right?
In your mind, it's a pretty good deal.
That's right.
It's a pretty good deal.
He should be charging.
We wanted to find out more about this, so we asked Dave if there's any way he could line it up. And on the line from South Africa, we have the prophet himself, Mr. Mburo. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, sir. How are you?
Good morning. How are you today?
Well, we're doing fine, but we're a little confused on how the details of your visit to heaven worked out, sir.
Oh, I'm sorry you were confused. How can I help you to understand better?
Well, first of all, did you die?
No, that would be crazy.
Okay.
But what you did isn't crazy.
Who can die and then go to heaven and come back?
Right.
That would be a crazy claim to
but
say.
But who could be alive
only
and go
Jesus
to...
could do that. I am not Jesus.
Okay.
I am just go to visit heaven, take some pictures, and then come back.
But who could be alive and then go to heaven and come back? That also doesn't exist.
Prophet Mboro.
Oh.
How do you pronounce your last name? I'm sorry.
And Prophet Mboro.
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 How did you get there?
You okay? You're choking.
It sounded weird being said. Mboro. Again.
What?
What's happening?
Don't give him the Heimlich maneuver, because I think he has something got in his esophagus.
Prophet, say it again, please, so that being...
I am Prophet Mboro.
Mboro.
All right, so it seems like this is a great blessing to have been to heaven.
Well, I am the leader of the Church of Incredible Happenings.
Right.
And I have done many incredible things being the prophet of the Church.
Uh-huh.
So I have done many things that seem to be impossible, but are just incredible happenings.
So other than just going to heaven, you've done other things?
Yes.
Like what?
I have healed peoples. During the sermon
that
I've had.
That's impressive.
I once delivered a fish from the womb of a pregnant woman.
Yeah.
Wait.
Yeah.
A fish instead of a baby?
Yes.
I saw
Why
that.
Why was there a fish in her?
Because the woman had had sex with Mike Trout.
You're stupid.
Prophet, it seems like you're telling a prophet who's been to heaven and taken pictures.
That lady called me stupid.
That he's dumb.
I am not stupid. I have delivered fish for a moment.
I apologize. I'm sorry.
Prophet, why wouldn't you share these incredible photos of heaven with your followers for free? It seems like, as a minister, it seems like that's something that would be expected.
Listen, running a church does not come for free.
Right.
It takes money to run a church, also to give charity to the people who need it here in South Africa.
Uh-huh.
And so if I have something of value to some people, like pictures of heaven, then it's $340.
Okay.
That's how cheap are you? Pictures of heaven.
It's a lot of money to look at a photo. That's all I'm
saying. Can you describe the photos?
Is it? How much do you usually pay for a picture of heaven?
Well, I don't because I'm not sure 100% I'm convinced you really did go to heaven. I think I have
them right here. It's all the pictures.
Did you get a picture of God?
No. God and I did not take a picture.
Okay.
But I did get a selfie with Jesus.
Is that right?
Wow. Okay.
Yes. And he's wearing a man bun these days.
Oh.
Which I find Jesus. Very disturbing.
That is kind of disappointing, yeah.
But I'm looking at the pictures now, and they're very impressive. I would easily pay $340 for them.
Okay.
Well, give us a clue. What's in these pictures?
There's me with Jesus.
Okay. Right. That's a beautiful photo.
You're not looking at it.
Well, I just assumed, just based on what you've said, it's...
All he said was a selfie with Jesus. There's no description there.
Don't say it's beautiful like you're looking at it, because you have not paid me my $340.
All right, I'm looking away. Go ahead, Prophet.
There's a chocolate fountain.
Chocolate fountain?
They have a chocolate fountain in heaven.
Of course they do. That does make sense.
This is Kate Upton serving me boneless chicken wings.
Whoa! That does sound like heaven.
Yeah, great. And that's what I like about the heaven chicken wings. They're boneless.
No bones. Oh, okay. All right.
So you can choke or nothing on them.
Okay.
But no beer, sadly.
Oh, really?
No beer.
Yes, I was so sad to find out.
That's a bummer.
In heaven, they have no beer.
Okay.
That's why we drink it here.
I have heard that, yes.
All the music of heaven is performed by Billy Ocean. It's a picture of me and Billy.
Oh, what? That's a surprise.
Backstage.
Billy Ocean?
Yes, at the Heaven Plex Theater.
Okay, all right.
And that's just a picture of some model's ass I took getting off a plane. I'm sorry, that should
Wait,
not be in there.
You took the picture of a model's ass getting off a plane?
I once took a picture of a model's ass getting off a plane. But then someone said I was creepy.
Yeah, you were.
Boro?
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
We have Jensen Karp on the program tomorrow. He's written a book called Kanye West Owes Me $30.
Or $300.
Or $300. One or the other.
No, it's not one or the other. It's only one.
Agree to choose your own adventure.
Agree to disagree.
No.
And tomorrow, because it's
300 is the title.
And tomorrow, because it's Tuesday, we have the Bachelorette Report. So that's coming up tomorrow as well. We'll be right back.
Will we?
Thought we were done after these words.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Oh.
I
miss him.
I do too.
Rest in peace.
So sad how he went.
Oh, yeah. He's been having a lot of number problems lately.
Yeah, remember you asked him to add a zero to 50,
and he said 150.
He came up with 150.
How?
Jeff, play that one. You have that one? play that other moment with Kevin that we love so much.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
$50 million.
Add a zero to that.
$150 million?
That would be 500. Okay. Add a zero to the 50. Good freaking Lord.
Wait, hold on. What just happened? $500.
That was a moment with Kevin.
I think Kevin is doing exactly as well as anyone might have expected someone like him to perform in a position like that.
And nominated again for another Hall of Fame,
right?
For radio.
As if being in the National Broadcasting Hall of Fame wasn't enough. Now,
the National
Chicago.
Radio Hall of Fame in Chicago also nominating
them. I think that one put him over the top.
For the Hall of Fame.
Oh, I mean.
What do you have to do in a profession to get into a Hall of Fame?
I just struggled to get him off the floor before every break.
He's finishing a tweet, Chip. Let him be. 40 seconds, Kevin. 20 seconds, Kevin.
Oh, I'm,
song's over, Kevin.
Okay, I'm getting up. It's you have no idea, folks. You have no idea. Although, Kevin, I do miss him.
Mm-hmm.
Especially now because Kevin, of course, in my mind, equates directly with soccer.
Oh, yeah. He loves it.
He loves it. And I was blown away by this moment, this television moment. Iceland, the country of Iceland. By the way, which the entire country has a population of around 330,000 people. The mm-hmm. entire nation.
Wow.
The population is 330,000 people. There were that many people in the first apartment complex I moved into in Los Angeles when I first moved here.
Yeah?
Yes. We had
right by the Grove?
Yes, right by there. So they have qualified for the first time in the Euro Cup. Euro 2016.
Mm-hmm.
They had an historic 2-1 win over Austria, and that puts them into the final 16. And they are losing their minds in Iceland, but none more so than the announcer for the Icelandic soccer team. I want you to listen to this guy's outburst when they win. Here's a little tape.
He's the
happiest
phenomenal.
Man in the world.
Oh.
I had no idea soccer could make anyone that happy. And yet, here's that guy.
That's great.
So, congratulations, Iceland. And to that guy. Wow. His testicles fell right off him.
They did?
Yeah.
Oh.
Rest in peace, balls.
Sounds like.
Should put him on ice.
You guys are familiar with the Kennedy Center Honors? You know the Kennedy
yeah.
Center Honors
I are? Love watching those.
This is from... It's a government group, the Kennedy Center Honors, that is the USA's way of honoring its artists. And they get together once a year, and they bestow lifetime achievement awards on people who have made outstanding contributions in the performing arts. So they've announced this year's winners. It'll be a special that'll air on television on December 27th, later this year, on CBS. But they have announced the winners... Argentinian pianist Martha Argerich?
Sure.
First of all, she's Argentinian. Why are we even giving her an award? Shouldn't Argentina give her the poncho award?
Is that it? The poncho.
The poncho. I believe it's the poncho.
Really? The golden poncho?
Yes.
What's happening?
The
in
golden
your head?
Bolos?
Really?
Mavis Staples, legendary.
Love.
Gospel singer, of course, and soul singer. James Taylor, singer-songwriter, he's going to win. The rock band The Eagles.
Sure.
Glenn Frey must be happy they're getting it now. He's like, hey, come on.
Come on, man.
Really? Couldn't do it while I was still alive?
Right.
But the one I'm really excited about, Al Pacino. Al Pacino is winning a Kennedy Center honor, and I can't wait for his acceptance speech. It's going to be awesome.
What do you think it'll sound like?
Let me say this. Kennedy! Ooh-ah. Bad day in Dallas. Right?
Oh.
That's what I'm guessing. He's
I don't think
he's
going to
open with that.
He's
going to open with
no.
that.
Oh. That Jackie Olo. What a oh. piece of ass!
Oh.
Am I right?
Al.
Ooh-ah.
Abort. Abort.
I love Al Pacino more than most. But mm-hmm. have you seen him lately? What's going on with his hair? Have you noticed his hair?
Yeah, it's puffy.
He's challenged.
It's like a weird...
He's follically challenged. He's got something odd
Buffon.
More TV news. Freeform. The cable network Freeform, once known as ABC Family.
Sure.
Has just ordered a new series starring Ben Higgins. Does that name sound familiar?
He's the one that said the rain in Spain falls mainly
wow.
on the plane.
Wow.
Nope. Mr. Higgins.
Nice My Fair Lady reference.
Thank you. I'm no, nothing if not topical.
Ben Higgins was The Bachelor last season.
Oh.
It's Raining Ben. Mm. Yep. He's going to get a new show. He and
Come
his fiance.
She just went,
Wait, let me try that again. It's Raining Ben. It's Raining Ben. There we go. And his fiance Lauren, who he, of course, met at the end of his season, have a new show called Ben and Lauren, Happily Ever After. It'll be a reality series as they plan their forthcoming wedding.
Ben and Lauren? That's...
Ben and Lauren.
Oh.
Happily Ever After. So, for those of you who can't get enough Bachelor, mm-hmm. you can now watch The Bachelor after he's no longer a bachelor. Get ready for his wedding.
You spent some time with Ben. And
I did.
It kind of changed your whole view on him,
He's
right?
He's a sweetheart of a guy.
Yeah.
I always thought that, though. It didn't change my view. I always thought he was a good guy on the show, but a very good guy in person. I just, as much as I like Ben and The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, I don't know if I need to watch them plan their wedding. I don't know if I'm on board for that or not.
Wow.
How much drama could there be in that other than...
really?
Oh, how are we going to put my aunt next to your drunk uncle at the seating chart? Really?
I don't. A lot of drama goes into planning the
wedding.
Yeah,
but it's all like, oh, look at my dress and stuff. Yeah, you'll never know. But still, I don't know if that's for me.
Okay.
And HBO has announced they are canceling Vinyl.
Oh.
Big budget music industry drama starring Bobby Cannavale, of course, as a 70s record exec, and also starred Ray Romano. Martin Scorsese and Mick Jagger were the executive producers. However, the numbers were never good. And usually HBO doesn't care that much about ratings.
Yeah.
But I get the sense in this case, critical acclaim wasn't exactly what they hoped it would be. And people didn't really seem excited about it. It's a very expensive show to make. So I think maybe they're letting it go.
And I think maybe they jumped the gun a little bit, saying after the first episode that it was being renewed for another year.
Yeah.
But We Get Togetherness back, though, right? That comes back since this has been canceled. Is that how TV
not
works?
Not so much. Sorry. Maybe. Sorry.
Nope. Oh, I want my show to be renewed.
Ray.
Deborah.
Hey, speaking of cable, I can't... Oh, I'm so bad. I've been so remiss. I apologize so much. We should have been talking about this all morning. Tomorrow on the Kevin and Bean Show...
Yes.
Live, Allie and I will be speaking with... Ray Donovan himself, Liev Schreiber, will be on the show.
Huge. Huge.
We just didn't want to miss the opportunity to have a conversation with Liev, even though Kevin and Bean are off this week. We wanted to have him in because Allie and I are huge fans of the show. It's coming back this weekend on Sunday night, and it's really one of the best shows on television. And Liev Schreiber is a brilliant actor. And so we'll be talking to him tomorrow about the show, and I'm very excited. Because, he's a great actor.
He's so good.
Did
that
you
whole
see,
Donovan did you, family.
Yeah, everybody. John Boyd, of course, Ugh. And Dash Mihawk, we've had on the show a bunch
Love
of times.
Love Bunchy.
And Liev, did you see him in the, what was that, Boston rapey priest movie?
Spotlight.
Spotlight, yeah.
It's actually what it says on the poster.
That was the original title.
It was.
Then they went with Spotlight after Boston rapey priest movie.
Yeah,
did
that
not
was a,
scan well with the marketing department.
That was a fantastic movie. If
and
people
a
haven't
great
seen
performance
it, unreal.
On his part, too.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that in all... And Ray Donovan, much, much more with Liev Schreiber tomorrow. I think you're in the 8 o'clock hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Today's celebrity birthdays. Melissa Rauch from Big Bang Theory is 36 years old today. Joel Edgerton is 42. Selma Blair turns 44. Apparently she's okay. She just mixed her meds with some wine. Things went awry on the airplane, but she's all well and she's apologetic and it's all good.
So her privates aren't burned?
Her privates are not burned to the best of our knowledge. Joss Whedon is 52. Frances McDormand turns 49 today. Randy Jackson.
Ooh.
He is for real And he's really 60 years old today. Glenn Danzig is 61. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
One of the most popular podcasts in the world is The Fighter and the Kid. The Fighter will be joining us in moments. That's the great Brendan Schaub. Right now, the kid is here, 49-year-old Brian Callen.
Tight skin.
You do look good, man.
Thank you, buddy.
Now, were you always pretty buff, or did you have to get buff because now you have all these UFC friends?
I do a lot of calisthenics, my friend, mostly body weight. It's all about core. I can't say I'm so tired of these conversations. You know what I mean? Like, this guy, I'm tired of guys posting their body on Instagram and saying things with captions like, you deserve this. Huh? How about I punch you in the face?
The people I want to punch you in the face are the ones that tell me how many steps they've taken today.
Oh, God. Yeah. I know. I got my little odometer. I got to get up and move around.
I'm 2000. I don't give a crap. Hey.
Just got a lot taller and better looking up in here.
Sure, he does have a pretty mouth.
He does have a pretty mouth. Look at that mouth.
Are you talking about my mouth?
Sure. Yeah.
It's way too early, bro.
Dude, it's sensual.
Way too early.
I believe his words were get ready
it's
for his mouth.
It's way too early
hey,
for
Hey, can
this.
You guys see his eyes? He's squinting.
it's 8 a.m., brother.
Hey, bro, did you just roll out of bed?
You know I don't work till 11.
Well, it's the Kevin and Bean Show, the world famous Kevin and Bean Show.
I know, man.
He walked in talking about your mouth.
Dude, I apologize. I don't know what he said before I got here, but I apologize.
He mentioned it was your mouth and how it's a good-looking mouth and get ready for it.
I think he said it's a full mouth.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah. Full mouth. I mean, there's a couple one, two, three full mouths here on this side.
She's got a full mouth.
Yeah, you got a set of lips on you.
Thank you.
Hey, easy,
you know
guys.
What I'm saying.
Well, no, it's early. I don't know. I don't know how you guys do it. It's
hey,
early.
Guys, it's early and horny here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
How long have you guys doing the Fighter and the Kid podcast?
3 years now, right?
Four years.
No,
it's been at Fox almost three. Yeah.
I'm such a huge fight fan, and when I got to meet Brendan, and I was hanging out, and I was like, dude, let's do a podcast and talk about fighting. And Brendan went, I'd rather stick something sharp in my eye. I fight for a living. Let's talk about anything but fighting. But
well, you cover a lot of ground. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's more of a lifestyle show. I mean, it's called The Fighter and the Kid. A lot of people think it's just sports related. It's really not. We should be in the comedy category, but they put us in sports.
I would guess that it's about 2/3 not UFC.
Yeah.
Fighting.
Oh, yeah. Very, dude, very, dude, very
he's
rarely.
He's a fighter, but he owns 200 pairs of shoes. Okay. So what's that tell you? He's a giant metrosexual.
Yeah. I'm into fashion. What can you do?
Brian, let me ask you this question because Brendan's thing is the shoes. Is your thing horses? Because you have the greatest avatar of how manly you are standing in front of those beautiful beasts.
Dude, let me tell you something. I'll show you guys
shaking
later.
His head, no.
It's just I'm sorry I'm not wearing shorts because I got the hindquarters of a centaur, and here's why. I run in the mountains, and I guess when I run in the wild, animals, especially horses, are drawn to my essence, wild horses.
Mm-hmm.
So I run with wild horses. So
right, okay.
In a sense, they're drawn to my virility.
Are they your
maybe.
Spirit animal?
I think they are, dude. I
sometimes
you have to slow down so they
can catch up?
Yes.
Sometimes.
Well, I'm super supple and dangerous. So
sure.
I used to think it was a panther, but I guess if you see me work in bed, if you see my work in
okay,
bed.
Okay, it's too early,
what?
Man.
Yeah,
you know what the thing is?
He's asking me a question.
You know what's weird? He was never into horses or Teslas or organic food, and then he moves to Calabasas, and he starts buying horses, and then all of a sudden his avatar changed to him on a horse, and now we go to Whole Foods, and he's asking about the milk. It's weird, man.
Yeah. I shave my chest now. It's beautiful.
Super weird.
What's happening to you?
You've changed.
I don't know, dude.
What happened to you?
I thought I was straight this whole time, but Brendan's mouth keeps distracting me.
Brendan, you put up a I think it was actually on your Twitter, Brian. It put up a photo of you with DC the other day.
Yes.
And I have heard very few details about what derailed Daniel's fight with
John
Jones.
I'll give them to you.
What happened?
Give him the inside scoop.
How did he get hurt and how serious is it?
So Daniel came to my show in San Jose. I was really excited. He just shows up. I'm taking pictures after the first show and he goes, "Hey Brian, how you doing?" I go, "Hey Daniel Cormier, baddest man on the planet, practically 205 pounds, the greatest guy in the world." And he kicked and his buddy checked it with his shin.
Yeah.
And he
not an Anderson Silva thing, was it?
Not really.
No, it's pretty standard in training. He just threw a kick and the guy checked it and he landed on the wrong part of his leg.
And his tendon snapped.
Yes.
Oh. The tendon that I think attached to the fibia and the tibia or something like that.
I don't like the word snapped.
Yeah, you don't like to hear that. It snapped.
It's not good with any body part. Yeah.
No. And that was it. And so he kind of fell to the ground, got up and he was like, "I'm fine." being a tough guy. And then the next day, his leg was swollen to twice its size. And he was like, maybe I should go get an MRI. you snapped your tendon.
I like the distance between the distance and time between you hurt yourself and then you thought, I should maybe.
Yeah, DC's, he's a badass man.
Well, you've trained
I wanted to see that fight, him and John.
We all did. I was so disappointed by that news.
Brendan trained with him. Brendan has actually sparred with him.
Trained with both of them. But I think... You know, John having this time off, right, and his run-ins with the law and being stripped of the title, a fight with this OSP guy that he's fighting, it's a good warm-up.
This is the replacement,
I mean,
right?
Anything could happen at 205. This is the replacement. Anything could happen. But it's a good warm-up for John to knock out some ring rust. So.
You know John Jones. I don't. But he seems like a dick. And the reason I say that is because with the fact that he's got a second chance and he still is throwing that attitude around out on the streets with the police when he's clearly in the wrong. Like, what's going on in his head? Does he just think he's just above everything?
Well, you don't become the baddest man on the planet by just, you know, being friendly to everyone. I think John has a...
But once your career is interrupted... It seems like that would get your attention.
A little humility, maybe.
A little good behavior,
maybe.
I'm with you. And he's done some stuff with the community outreach program, stuff like that. But I don't think it's in his personality to just be this loving, caring guy. He's just – that's not him. I always say this about John. I take heat for it. Just embrace the dark side. Be the joker of the UFC, man. Be the heel and just screw everyone and do your thing. No one's going to beat him. They're just not.
Yeah.
No one's going to beat this guy.
So you think DC didn't have a chance?
Not a chance.
Hey, I know, because we're going to run out of time, and I'm going to hate it because it's so much fun having you guys. But your web series, The Fighter and the Kid 3D, I just want to specify, is not in 3D, right?
No. Tell him, B.
We were like, what do we name it? And Mitch Rouse, who created Strangers with Candy and Exit 57, he's a beast. And he said, let's call it 3D. And we were like, okay. And that's
no, he was like, let's call it 3D. I'm like, well, it's not 3D. And then we all started laughing. And then he was like, yeah, let's do that. Yeah. We're in this big board meeting with all these suits. Yeah. And we all started laughing.
And this is animated show?
No. What is it? I don't know how to describe it, but I will say this. It's different. And I'm proud of it. It started out, we were going to do like these 2-minute, 3-minute episodes. And then we were like, they turned into like 19-minute, 15-minute.
It's a show.
It's basically a real show.
Is it a written show? It's a written show.
Okay.
Oh, right. A lot of improv written. It's Brian and I in these crazy situations.
Yeah, we play the same. Well, we don't really play the same character. I don't know how to describe it, man. It's an experience.
It's your project.
I'll say this. You will shake your head and go, I haven't seen that. That's different.
It's a Fine Kid TV show, and we're going directly to the fans with it because it's our flavor. So. You know, it's definitely rated R. There's some PG-13, but you can't put this on Fox, is what I'm telling you.
Okay.
So the reason going straight to the consumer, straight to our fan base, is because we wanted to do it exactly how we wanted to do it. It's a TV show of Fighter and the Kid.
You can pre-order it. Pre-order at tfatk3d.com. So it's T.
Also, when you do that,
FATK3D.
And when you do that with this pre-sale, you get Brian Callen's new comedy special, his one-hour special, Never Grow Up, and you get the limited edition Fire and Kid t-shirt as well.
You have got the taste of what you can get every time you listen to a Fighter of the Kid podcast,
but
available at
anyway.
TFATK.com or on iTunes. Guys, so nice to finally have you on the show. We've been fans for a long time. We got to thank Joe Rogan, by the way. He's the reason we got introduced to you guys because
awesome.
We heard you on his podcast and love you so much. But thanks so much for coming in. Let's do
thank
it again.
You guys,
all right?
Man. You guys are the best. Yes.
Kevin,
love you guys.
You too.
Thanks, guys. Here's a question I bet you have asked yourself in your head
Never.
A million times.
Never.
I'm with the woman.
I'm sorry. I thought Chip was going to hit a button here with the question.
Have you ever wanted to lick your cat?
Okay, stop
now
right there.
Can.
Have you ever wanted to lick your cat?
Come on, Chip. Read his mind.
God damn it, Chip.
What is wrong with you?
We need a Kickstarter for a mind reader, right?
Psychic signals.
God damn it.
Why would she think that she was supposed to hit something if you hadn't told her?
Because the tape starts with the question, have you ever wanted to... Look, this isn't about me. This is about people who want to lick their cats,
it's like
okay?
People like you.
I can't.
This is a Kickstarter where somebody... How would you describe this, Ralph? It's a rubber tongue, really, is what it is, right?
Look, it's a brush for your cat. First of all, do cats even need brushing?
Mm-mm. I think they do, yeah.
No.
Yeah, I think they take care of it. That's
right. That's
I
what
think
they
the
do.
Point.
I
of
used
this...
to brush my cat just because my cat was a shedder, and it at least collected some of the hair so that he didn't leave.
Yeah,
quite
I've never
so
seen
much
a matted cat unless it's one of those
feral cats.
Yeah, or those Angora ones, I guess. Is it Angora? No, what's the real long-haired
right, I know cats. What you're talking about. Yeah.
But most cats have short hair, and they don't need to be brushed. Mm-hmm. But it's a brush for your cat, but instead of just holding the brush like a human being would, it's a specifically designed brush that you stick in your mouth and hold between your teeth, and the brush part is a long tongue-like rubber brush, and this way you can emulate a cat licking itself and or another cat by licking your cat with the rubber brush.
Right. You develop a deeper relationship with your cat. It's
you need
to
develop a deeper relationship with Xanax if that's you doing that.
It's bonding, though, with your pet. It
it's
allows
so
you and your
creepy
pet to be as one. All right. Let's hear a little bit more. Chip, here's your setup. Let's hear a little bit more from the Kickstarter video, which, by the way, is almost completely funded. They're trying to raise $36,500 to put these Licky brushes into production. They're at over $30,000 already. So a lot of people are down with the Licky brush. Listen up.
Now you can, without the fur balls. Introducing Licky brush. Cats groom each other as a form of social bonding. As a human, you're left out of this intimate ritual. With Licky brush, you can now lick your cat back.
Now you can lick your cat back.
Ralph, it's a high-quality, soft silicone brush designed to feel pleasurable to your cat's sensitive skin. You gently grasp the Licky's bite portion with your teeth and slowly approach your cat when she is sleeping or in an otherwise pleasant mood and ease into the soothing and mutually beneficial licking behavior of cats. And here's my favorite part. Don't be surprised if your cat licks you back.
Then you won't be let out of the intimate ritual. What the freak is going on with these people? What other intimate rituals are they trying to get with their cats?
Don't make it creepy.
It's already
creepy.
It doesn't
have to be creepy.
If you're putting on a rubber tongue and rubbing your rubber tongue all over your cat, you've already passed the creepy line.
You jumped over it.
Yes.
Yeah.
You leapfrogged.
What if they're right? Are you willing to allow the possibility that maybe they are right and they're getting inside your cat's head and your cat would enjoy this and would be comforted by this and it would make the cat feel like there was another cat in the room?
If your cat thinks you're another cat because you put a piece of rubber in your mouth, then your cat is an asshole.
That's a little extreme.
What kind of brain-damaged cat do you have that say, wow, I thought this was a human being, but now that I see the big piece of rubber hanging out of its mouth, it looks just like another cat to me now. Now I just have a big, giant cat friend in my house.
Why does that cat stand on two legs and wear clothes?
Why are they using a frying pan to make eggs? I'm confused by that cat's behavior, but it must be a cat because it's got rubber hanging out of its mouth.
Big, giant cat friend.
Why do you suppose? And by the way, Dave is trying to get the person who invented this, Jason.
Oh, I'd like to have a conversation with that person.
Try to get Jason on the air with us here.
Jason and I need to have a little conversation.
Why do you suppose that 1,187 backers have already contributed money toward making the Licky Brush a reality?
And the fact that there's 25 days to go, and
they're
going to
shatter
their goal.
Yeah.
Of course they will. Why is this a surprise to anyone when cat people? That's all you need to know.
Cat people. I like it, by the way. I like it very much. And
It's just there, people. I'm just going to leave this here for you. Bean loves it. The cat people love it. The only person who's not going to love it is the cat. Because the cat's like, why are you rubbing a rubber dildo all over me that's hanging out of your mouth? And you smell like a person, and I know you're a person, but you're trying to brush me with your mouth. Like, what are you, Stephen Hawking? That's what your cat's going to say.
Let's see what it's like in
smart cat,
right?
In action. Kelly Ripa on the Live with Kelly and Whoever I Haven't Gotten Fired Yet Lately show on ABC tried the Licky Brush on the air not long ago, and here's a little bit of what that sounded like.
This is amazing. This guy loved his cat so much. This couple, Tara and Jason O'Mara, and they came up with this device because they were always watching their cats groom each other, and I guess they felt like left out of the action.
Oh no!
So they came up with this device called the Licky Brush. And it allows you to bond with your cat like a cat. Now I'm going to show you how it works with a Gelman brought in his cat. Okay, let me get him.
Where are you going?
Oh, my God. So she's licking a cat. Yeah. Right?
Well, listen to that audience. I want to just burn that place to the ground with all of them in the building.
I'll put you down for two. Heaven and the food falls
in love. Woo! Hey!
Really not a hate song. You're listening to Kevin and Bean here on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 K-Rock FM. It's 9:41. We have time for one final look at the showbiz beat before we say goodbye. I want to remind everyone, tune in tomorrow because we're going to have an all-new movie beat. We'll be taking a look at the new movies in the theaters this weekend. Showbiz beat, of course, all morning long. And the thing that I think Allie and I are both most excited about, Liev Schreiber going to be on the show.
Oh, my God.
Talking about the return of Ray Donovan. And he's awesome on that show. The whole show is brilliant. That's one of those shows when it goes off the air, and it's showtime, so it, I don't know, they have like 10 new episodes a season. When it's over, I get a little bit sad.
Yeah.
And then the anticipation starts for the comeback.
Right. And especially the end last season. You didn't know where the priest was taking him. What's happening?
Ray's bleeding out in the front seat of creepy priest's car, and you don't know where they're going.
Love of all things holy.
We'll find out what happens on Sunday. Speaking of entertainment that I'm looking forward to, this Rogue One, a Star Wars story. I really enjoyed The Force Awakens. But in a lot of ways, it was the kind of Star Wars that we've seen before. It was kind of like A New Hope in a lot of ways. A lot of the same characters were revisited, same sort of plot points. But I loved it. Don't get me wrong. I had no problems with it. But this Rogue One is, I think, a really cool concept, sort of the backstory of the rebel forces that weren't with the Jedi, that were out there doing important rebel stuff, like stealing the plans to the Death Star.
Sure.
You don't know how they got those in A New Hope. When they just pop up.
They just had them.
Here's our holographic map. See that exhaust port? Put it there.
Right. How'd they know that?
Well, now we're going to find out.
Sweet.
But the story just gets better because it has been announced that one familiar character will be returning to the Star Wars universe in Rogue One, a Star Wars story. Darth Vader returning to the fold, once again to be voiced by James Earl Jones.
Oh, so good.
How exciting is that?
Who's going to play him, though? Because dude's like 90.
David Prowse, the original actor who embodied Darth Vader's costume. Of course, James Earl Jones famously did the voiceover after the fact. He is now 80 years old. You're right, Allie. And he is not in great health.
Yeah.
So he's been replaced by what they're only referring to as a series of large framed performers. A variety of large framed performers.
I'd love to see that casting
call. We'll be wearing the suit. So a bunch of big dudes will be walking around in that outfit. But then James Earl Jones will step in and
he will start to voice it.
Wow.
Yeah. Good times. Nice. Speaking of reboots, we got Ghostbusters coming back, right? We got Ghostbusters. The new all-female remake of Ghostbusters is going to be in theaters soon. And what would Ghostbusters be without the Ghostbusters theme song? We all love that song. Who are you going to call? Ghostbusters? Mm-hmm. Ray Parker Jr.?
Sure.
There's a new version for the new movie. Fallout Boy have done a cover of the Ghostbusters theme with a little help from Missy Elliott. Not everyone's a fan. This dropped this morning, and we're getting, differing opinions on how much people like or don't like this. I'll let you be the judge for yourself. Here's a little taste of Fall Out Boy's Ghostbusters theme.
Not afraid.
And then Missy Elliott shows up. She lays down a little rap there right in the center of the song. Allie's making a face. It's not for me. I know that much. Here's Missy Elliott. Can't sleep when I'm home alone. Nighttime, my lights on. Woo! Got me scared. Woo! Hiding underneath my bed. In my closet, down the hall. I see shadows all on my wall. Penny wants to be big and tall. Ghostbusters, who you gonna call? Woo! 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 They knocking at my door. They coming.
Soulja Boy.
I just feel it. Wow. Wow. I feel like maybe you just go with a whole different direction. Obviously, the rap is a different direction in the middle, but maybe a whole new song. Not a cover.
What are you going to do?
Who are you going to call?
Like, I guess people expect it, though. If you're doing a Ghostbusters movie, you expect to hear at least something along those lines of that famous theme song, right?
Then use Ray Parker Jr. Yeah. You have the rights.
Yeah. But then Huey Lewis calls up and he starts suing again.
I think they settled that.
I don't know if you want to go through that. Hey, anybody get caught up in the ham scam? Anybody bothered by the ham scam?
Right.
Ham scam is the catchy nickname they're giving to this case in New York City, where a dude was found guilty selling bogus Hamilton Broadway tickets. Right?
Oh.
I hate these people.
Right?
I've been burned a couple times. You ever been burned buying scalped tickets to something and you find out they're forgeries or
yes.
that someone has already scanned them and they're already in the venue
and
you're on the outside?
You're waiting to go in. You're like, all right, let's go. Oh.
Yeah, I hate that.
Yeah.
This guy named Anthony Huger was on Craigslist and twice sold fake Hamilton tickets to people who spent thousands of dollars for tickets to the sold-out Broadway show. One of the victims went to the cops and they were able to track this guy down. He was sentenced this week to 3 years behind bars.
Oh,
how about that?
Stanford rapist got 6 months.
that does put this into perspective, I guess. No, he may not do the whole 3 years, but that's what his sentence was anyway. So if you sell fake tickets, go to jail.
Mm.
That's the moral of the story there.
Ham scam.
We're following ham scam.
Developing story on ham scam.
Ham scam. Vinyl's been canceled. Fans of the HBO drama were sad to hear today that the Baba Cannavale show won't be back on HBO. I watched a couple, never really caught my fancy.
I got into it.
Did you?
Yeah.
Are you sad to see it go?
I am, because actually the last episode was phenomenal.
Really?
I was like, all right, I can't wait to figure out what happens next season. And I love that Juno Temple.
You don't
Temple.
Have to worry about that anymore.
No, I don't.
You don't worry about what happens next season.
Juno Temple was great. PJ Byrne was great. Ray Romano was great.
Oh.
See?
Oh, I want to have a three-way. Look at my hair.
He did have
it's
a
all
three-way.
70s.
I mean, that show
Deborah.
Gave us a Ray Romano three-way.
I know.
Come on, HBO.
For nothing else. Maybe that should be the new show. They should just spin it off.
Spin it off.
You should spin that off, that premise,
oh.
and just have Ray Romano in the 70s having threesomes.
Oh, my God.
And you could call it Everybody Loves Ray. Right? Everybody Loves Raymond. You could just, these two girls love Raymond.
No, everybody.
Everybody.
Seriously.
Yeah. Week after week, Everybody Loves Raymond.
Two girls, one Ray?
Oh. Chip. You dirty bird.
Take a look at today's celebrity. Dirty bird? Are you in misery?
Yeah.
What's her name? Wilkes?
Annie? Was it
Annie?
Annie,
Wilkes.
Yep.
Today's celebrity birthdays.
Feet and they're all murk.
Melissa Rauch from Big Bang Theory is 36 years old today. Joel Edgerton turns 42. Selma Blair is 44. Joss Whedon, 52. Frances McDormand. How great was she in Fargo? Every time I think of her, I think of her performance in Fargo.
She was so good.
Brilliant. 59 years old today. Randy Jackson.
Ooh.
He is for really 60 years old today. Glenn Danzig is 61. And Chico DeBarge of the legendary band DeBarge. Makes me want to go to a street fair and dance.
Yeah.
Chico is 50 years old today. Hey, on your drive home today, what?
He had five kids, one of which was named Chicoco.
Stop it with your DeBarge facts.
Chicoco.
On your drive home today, listen to a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour here on K-Rock. It's a random act of helpfulness from our SoCal helpful Honda dealers. We appreciate them helping us out by giving us commercial-free music on the drive home today at 5 p.m. Hopefully they'll play some DeBarge. Tune in tomorrow, Kevin and Bean Show here on the world-famous K-Rock.